Now let's return to Hebrews chapter 8, and this is our theme: God remembers us. I'm excited about this. I've been thinking about memory a bit in the last while, and I'm going to have three messages on this in the evenings. God remembers us. Christ remembers himself. You'll see why that is the subject when it comes. And we remember Jesus. We'll have to think about these three themes about remembering. And this is our text here: I will forgive their wickedness. This is the new covenant, the one we're in, the one that Christ inaugurated, the one of which he is, as Hebrews says, the mediator. I will forgive their wickedness. This is God speaking. And will remember their sins no more. So, speaking about memory and remembering is really thinking about identity. I don't know if a murderer remembers. A couple of years ago, he asked me to preach about identity. Do you remember that murder? You do. That's good. Because they're speaking about memory, so I wanted to make sure you remember. And memory and identity are tied up. So Murder now sits there thinking, I am the man who said to Roddy a couple of years ago, will you preach about identity? And now he's sitting there, and he has that sense of being that person who has a part in getting this series started. So a little bit about identity. Memory, everything that we remember, has something to say about the identity that we have. Because without memory, there's no identity. If you don't have a memory of yourself, you don't know who you are. And that's a tough thing to think about, because we go to great lengths to build our memory from infancy. We build our identity through discovering the world and through remembering what we discover. And this goes on right through and continues with yourselves right through life. We're constantly learning new things. We're constantly remembering what we learn. We're experiencing things, and we're remembering what we experienced. They're good things, and they may be bad things, and they all go to build up within us a sense of who we are. Sadly as well, memory can be damaged through injury. It can be removed through a gradual process of decline, through illness. And one of the grievous things about our society, which makes modern medicine a mixed blessing, is that people live much longer and are much more prone in the latter part of their lives to experience mental decline and memory loss. And memory loss is very distressing for the person, so long as they know it's happening to them. There does come a point when people seem to just lose a sense of who they are. And then perhaps they may be quite peaceful, but it's very distressing for all the people around who still remember what they are and what they were. So memory and identity are really deeply tied up. And we, of course, as human beings, we don't remember very much. We remember very little indeed. And often in life, because of the way things can skew us, just because perhaps the pressures we're under, times of sadness, times of hard work, times of bitterness, times of temptation, sometimes we get skewed and we forget our identity. We forget who we are. We forget what's important about our lives. So just stop for a minute and just think, in terms of your identity as a person, what are your most important memories? Just think about that for a minute. What do you remember that gives you a real sense of who you are? Now, it might be great memories. It might be a memory where you're, you know, sitting on your father's shoulders, being carried around the village, perhaps on your father's shoulders, and you just feel amazing because everyone's respectful to your father and you are on your father's shoulders. You know, and that gives you a tremendous sense of identity and of place. It might be a very bad memory, and we don't need to go into that, but that also will have an effect on how you view yourself. And then we can think about today God's memory. What memories does God have when he's thinking about you and me? What memories does he call on to inform his view of your identity? So to answer that, we come to Hebrews chapter 8. And the book of Hebrews, you remember, is a book about how Jesus is better. The word better occurs lots in the book of Hebrews. Jesus is better. It's better than anything that went before. He's the one who brings in this chapter, a better covenant. Better sacrifice, better priest, better than the angels, all these sort of things in Hebrews. He brings in a better relationship between God and his people than was true before Jesus. A better covenant. The old covenant, as we read here, in the old covenant in Moses, it didn't work. It just didn't actually work. It didn't keep God and people close together. And so God found fault, as verse 8 says, and he, instead of saying, well, I'm done with people, he said, I'm done with that covenant. Thank God that he did that. That he thought, I'm done with the covenant, and not that he thought, I'm done with the people. He made a perfectly good covenant, a covenant in which we could approach God and come to him through sacrifices and through the law and try and keep that law, but we couldn't. And we didn't, we just didn't match up to it. We failed. And the covenant was there for a failure, because it didn't work for human beings. And so Hebrews says a new covenant was made. And he quotes in Hebrews here a long passage from Jeremiah and chapter 31. So from verse 8 down to verse 12 is from Jeremiah and chapter 31. And the writer shows that this new covenant that Jeremiah promised was looking forward to has come, and it's come through Jesus. And covenant is just another word for agreement, a way of relating, a way of having fellowship with God. And so the old covenant failed. Verse 9, the covenant I made with their forefathers, took them out of Egypt, because it failed because they were not faithful to the covenant. And remember, after hundreds of years of Israel just constantly turning away from God and worshipping idols, God said, I turned away from them, which is what the covenant said he would do. So he kept his part, but they didn't keep theirs. So the new covenant is new in all sorts of ways, but it deals without an inability to keep our side of things. Our inability to be perfect. Our inability to keep close to God because of we're being good. We can't and we shouldn't rely on ourselves and on what we've done to be close to God, because it doesn't work. If you're wondering why you're not close to God tonight, if you're not, then maybe it's because you're relying on yourself and hoping that you, by what you do, are going to be close to God. And that's not going to work. That's the old covenant. The new covenant brings you close to God, but not by what you do. It brings you close to God, but by what God does. And what God does, verse 10, is he puts the law in our minds and writes it on our hearts. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. So that people actually know God. God is not just like at the head of the nation and somewhere there behind the work of the priests. We know, everyone knows God, verse 11. They'll know him from the least to the greatest. And also, there is the work of Jesus on our behalf. The work that brings about our forgiveness. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And this is one of the crowning glories of what you and I have and what the Church of Christ has and has had for the past 2,000 years. I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. It doesn't say they won't sin. It says I will remember their sins no more. It doesn't say you've got to be perfect. It says you're not going to be perfect. You're going to have sins. And God says I will remember them no more. Now this is wonderful, because God doesn't have to do this. And what a God he is. So let's move into thinking about memory. And God saying here, I will remember their sins no more. Now I thought God remembered everything. Although I don't really understand what I mean by that when I say that. I do think God does remember everything. I even think God remembers everything before it happens. But I don't understand that either. But it seems, for example, that when Jesus dies on the cross for my sins, God has to remember my sins at the cross 2,000 years ago in order for them to be paid for. Maybe that's not quite how it works, because it's all in his mind. He knows what he's doing, and his mind is infinitely greater than my mind or anyone else's. But it seems that God remembers everything. But it tells us here that God can choose not to remember. I will remember their sins no more. I will not remember their sins anymore. So the new covenant is saying this is a relationship with God we can have where God doesn't remember our sins. He doesn't remember that we have sinned. If we don't have this relationship, then he does remember our sins. And that's not a pleasant thing to think about, because we sang at the beginning, our God comes to judge the world. Well, if he comes to judge the world and he remembers my sins, when he does that, I'm condemned. So I need this covenant. I need this new covenant that Jesus has brought. And I find that in the new covenant, when it comes to my life, God remembers my sins no more. Come to the day of judgment, God remembers my sins no more. This is the nature of the covenant. So let's just look at a few things here. What happens when God remembers our sins, first of all? And what happens when he remembers them in us? In other words, what happens when God remembers your sins as your sins? And he remembers them in you. He thinks about you and he remembers what you've done. He remembers your sins. Now you might think, well, isn't that all that God can do? Well, no, because the new covenant tells us God can do something else. But if he remembers your sins as being your sins, as being something he must deal with in his justice, what happens? Well, even right now, if God remembers your sins, Paul tells us what we are in Ephesians 2 and verse 3. He says, we were by nature, before we became Christians, children of wrath like the rest. So, before you're a Christian, when God is remembering your sins, and when you are a Christian, thinking about the people who aren't around you, they are, and we were, children of God's wrath. God's just anger against sin. And Paul tells us here, that is the default position for human beings. It's what we were, because we weren't in the new covenant, because we hadn't believed in Jesus, and because we were still hoping that maybe we would be accepted by God, if indeed we bothered with him at all. We would be accepted by what we had done. And we really were showing there our great ignorance of how great God is, how holy God is, and how serious our sins are. When God remembers our sins, we are children of wrath. If God continues to remember our sins, then there comes a time when he acts on that memory in judgment. And in the book of Revelation, where the day of judgment is pictured in very graphic ways, it is pictured as God remembering sin. So in Revelation 16, verse 19, God remembered Babylon the Great, it's a symbol of the world, people without Christ, and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. And then later on in chapter 18, verse 5, for her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. So when God remembers sin in us, we are children of wrath. While we've got the chance, and while we're still not yet before the judgment seat, this is our time to run to Jesus and to ask God's mercy upon us. But if we arrive at the judgment seat and we haven't run to Jesus, God will remember our sins. And he will give us to drink of the wine of the fury of his wrath. Now that is certainly a motivation for us to turn to Jesus, and it's a motivation for us to help others to turn to Jesus too. But God can remember our sins in another way. He can remember them in Christ. This is why Jesus came. He can remember them in Christ. Now Jesus knew this was going to happen. By the time he'd arrived at Gethsemane, he had come to that clear understanding of his mission, that God was going to make him drink the cup that we've just spoken about, the cup of his wrath. He was going to have to drink it himself. Jesus was going to drink the cup of God's wrath, but God's wrath for our sins, God's anger against our sins. Jesus knew that he would be made like he had done our sins. He would be made sin. And God would remember our sins, but he would remember them as though Jesus had committed them, which is almost feels like blasphemy. It seems abhorrent to us to think of that, that we would think that Jesus would be treated like he had done what we have done. But that is what happens at the cross, because it says many times in the New Testament, Christ died for our sins. Now, the very fact that Christ died is extraordinary and shocking enough because of his perfect life. But the reason why Christ died was because he was drinking the cup of the wrath of God against our sins. And God was making Jesus to experience the judgment that we would have experienced if he had remembered our sins in us. But now he has chosen in the new covenant to remember our sins in Jesus. Calvary is where God calls to mind our sins with total recall of everything that we have done. And Jesus is the one who is remembered to have committed them. And Jesus is the one, therefore, who is treated in judgment as our sins deserve, but he's treated in judgment because God is remembering our sins as though they are Jesus' sins. And so Jesus is the one who is judged and suffers and dies. So in the new covenant, what happens when God remembers the new covenant? What happens when God remembers us in the new covenant? Well, we'll go through a few verses here. Sometimes it says in the Old Testament, God remembered his covenant. We sang a few examples of that. There's a couple more examples. The covenant God had made with Abraham. God remembered the covenant when people were in slavery in Egypt. And that's chapter 6. He says that he's going to do something. I have heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I've remembered my covenant. So you know God's about to do something. There are various points in the Old Testament where God remembers his covenant and it changes the way he's dealing with people. What happens when God remembers his covenant with us? Through Jesus. Well, it means that he is going to treat us differently. And here's what Hebrews 10 says about this. The Holy Spirit testifies to us about this. First he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time. This is what we read in chapter 8 as well. Jeremiah 31 says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I'll remember no more. So what happens when God remembers the covenant with us? It says he changes us within. He writes his law in our hearts. And he remembers our sins no more. Doesn't remember them anymore. A couple more verses just to fix this point in. Great verse to remember. Isaiah 43:25. I, God says to Judah in their exile, as he brings them back home to Jerusalem and to Judah, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Imagine hearing those words spoken to you by God. I don't remember your sins anymore. Slightly different picture in Micah chapter 7. He hurls all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. So again, it's a picture. The sea was a great mystery, of course. It still is to many, in many ways. But what is down in the bottom of the sea, no one really had any idea. It's like saying God is just putting them into oblivion. The abyss, they're gone. He's totally annihilating his memory of them. So if God doesn't remember your sins, if God says to you, your sins I will remember no more, then he's changing your identity. He's changing who you are before his own eyes. You are no longer the person who has sinned. You are no longer a sinner in his sight. There is nothing to punish. There is nothing in you that stops him from being your father and from dwelling in you by his Holy Spirit. When God doesn't remember your sins anymore. We must always remember sin is the only reason why God is apart from us. Isaiah 59 verse 2. Your sins have separated you from your God. Your iniquities have hidden his face from you. Nothing else. So if God forgets our sins. No, wrong word. It doesn't say forgets. God doesn't remember our sins. Then our identity before him has changed. We have become like people who have not sinned, and therefore we become people for whom God can find no reason why he should be apart from us. And we become people whom God can be beside and within and around and in relationship with as our Father in heaven. And he doesn't do this by making our sins vanish by magic. He doesn't do this just by just brushing the sins under the carpet, like a forgetting action. Because God can't forget, and God can't forget sin, because that would be injustice. The universe would be a place of injustice then. God remembers, but he doesn't remember them as sins we've done. He remembers them at the cross. He makes them Jesus' sins. Now, you might think to yourself now, if you're following this along, if God doesn't remember my sins, that doesn't maybe leave much for him to remember. If you know that motivations in your life are really very difficult to make pure, you know how difficult it is to do anything just out of the pure love of God, or the pure love of your neighbour, or the pure love of your brother or sister, or the pure love of your family. You know how difficult it is to do anything with a pure motive. You know how easy it is to sin. And if God doesn't remember your sins, is it like you're some kind of person who's clothed in would be a great robe, but it's got so many holes and bits missing in it, it's just almost shredded and falling to bits. Well, remember then, there's another thing that comes along with this. Another glorious and another gracious act of God in God's memory is that he will choose then to remember what Jesus did as though we've done it. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Here we go. It is because of God that you're in Christ Jesus, that you're in the new covenant. And when he remembers the new covenant, then Jesus becomes wisdom from God, our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. So God is thinking about you in the new covenant. He is not remembering your sins. He is thinking about you in the new covenant. He is remembering Christ's righteousness, holiness for you, as though you had done it, as though that was your righteousness that you yourself had done. And so you're clothed in this splendid robe before God. A robe of Christ's righteousness. So, in the new covenant, here it is. Let me just sum it up before we close. In the new covenant, your identity in Christ. Let me just say three things. First of all, God does not remember your sins as being your sins in the new covenant. So he's not going to punish you for them. He's not going to be separate from you because of them. He is going to be able to be close to you, and he is going to be able to be your father. He is going to be able to live with you forever. Also, he does remember your sins as though Jesus did them. So not only does he not remember your sins in you, he has taken those sins and he's remembering them as though Jesus did them. And he's treating Jesus accordingly by punishing him on the cross for our sins. And then thirdly, he is remembering the righteousness of Jesus as though we'd done it, as though we were righteous because we had done the things actually Jesus did. So Jesus is being treated as though he had done the things we did, and we are being treated as though we had done the things Jesus did. God is doing this in the new covenant in his memory, in the way he chooses, because he's God, he can do this. He can choose to remember us in this way. And justice is done, because God pays for our sins himself at the cross. So justice is done. And it's within God's prerogative, within God's privilege to choose how he remembers our sins, and he's choosing in the new covenant that you're not going to remember them as sins you've done, but as sins Christ has done. So let me just close with this very simple thing. Often we call to mind our sins. I'll explore that a bit more in the next two sermons. But often we remember our sins. And when we remember our sins, that can lead us to be more easily tempted to do them again. It can lead us to beat ourselves up about the kind of people we are. And it can lead us to feel like we shouldn't be close to God and we've got no right to come to God. All of these things and much more. But is this the way we should be thinking about ourselves? If God is not remembering our sins, should we be calling them back to ourselves and calling them back to God when he's chosen not to remember them? If they're not remembered by God, they are as though they didn't happen in our lives. So should we not stop dwelling on them ourselves? The answer's got to be yes. It's got to be yes. And then, what he remembers is that our sins were on Jesus. And should we, while dwelling on our sins, which we shouldn't be doing, be then forgetting what God remembers? Should we be forgetting the cross? Should we be forgetting that our sins actually are placed there on Jesus? And if they're placed there, they got nothing to do with me anymore or with you anymore at all. Nothing whatsoever. So why would I then be someone who wants to keep remembering my sins and forgetting the cross when God is doing exactly the opposite? He's forgetting my sins and remembering the cross. Forgetting my sins, I did it again. He's not remembering my sins on me. He is remembering my sins at the cross and that Jesus has dealt with them. So we're just going to sing in a moment. We don't want to forget God's benefits. That's one of the things we need not to do as Christians. We mustn't find ourselves going down horrible, dark places, remembering our sins and forgetting the cross when God is forgetting, is not remembering our sins as us doing them, but as Christ doing them. So they've got nothing to do with us anymore. We're done with them. Completely done with them in God's sight. And Christ has dealt with them at the cross. So when we remember Jesus has got them and he's dealt with them. And so we do not dwell on our sins. We dwell on the cross and what Jesus has done. We've got a new identity, and it is good. The burden has fallen off. Why would I want to try and put it on again? Praise to God.